T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. This sounds like our superhero music. We're all wearing our capes here in Studio B. Charlie Brennan is here with us. Hello.
At your service. Good morning, Debbie.
And Megan McBride, Democratic strategist with Show Me Victories.
Good morning.
All right, let's start with a serious one. This has been brought up by former County Police Chief Tim Fitch, who is now a county councilman, and he thinks that the death penalty should be on the table in the case of the man accused of shooting and killing a North County Cooperative Police officer Sunday night in North County. I think it was Wellston. St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell campaigned against the death penalty, and he has not said whether he would pursue the death penalty or not. He just said he did not want to politicize it. Charlie, do you think that the county prosecutor should pursue the death penalty or change his mind in this case?
I don't see how he can. He ran against it, and that's one of the reasons, I'm sure, why he won. We don't like politicians who flip-flop. We like people who stick to their word. And whether you agree with him or not, he was elected running against the death penalty. And the death of that officer was tragic and horrible, as all homicides are, right? And so I just don't see how Wesley Bell can change his mind on this issue. However horrible this shooting was, and it was horrible.
Yeah, I would say if there's any circumstance that warrants the death penalty, this one certainly is that. I mean, you have a confession to the crime, so there's not really a question of just DNA is going to show something different years later. Did something else happen? The nature of this shooting was, I think, particularly nasty and awful. But I don't see how Wesley Bell really, he can go back. And it would be, I think, a very odd thing if he decided to in this case. But it really is a horrible one. And if we're going to have the death penalty in Missouri, you would think that this is the type of case that it exists for.
All right. This is going to be interesting tonight. I wonder what kind of ratings this is going to get. I think some people may be very curious to see the presidential candidates. As we all know, there is a long list of Democrats wanting to run for president, and 10 of them, led by Senator Elizabeth Warren, will converge on the debate stage today for the first night of Democratic debates. They'll try offering their pitches to voters and try to break out, have a breakout moment, maybe be the one getting all the headlines on the morning news tomorrow with their campaigns. Given the massive field, this debate is going to be split out over two nights, with another 10 candidates appearing tomorrow night. Megan, any chance that the lesser-known candidates are going to be able to break out here?
Oh, I think it's a complete possibility. I'm just really more interested to watch for the logistics of it all. Like, how are they going to manage this stage both nights with the personalities and all the different types of folks that they're going to have up there really vying to get their minute in? So that's really, for me, I'm most interested in that. I am curious to see if somebody's going to have the moment to really stand out. I have a feeling it's going to be pretty typical, though. The people who have been strong and who have been leading are going to continue to be strong and be leading. But anything can happen. And I just love the idea of how many folks are going to be up there. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. I think it's going to be tough to stick out because your time's going to be limited. So, and I think the candidates know that. So they're going to have to say or do something that's really unusual, because when you have that many people in one room, there's only, just divide the number of minutes for the debate by the number of candidates, and you realize how little time you have. And it's interesting, though, because I do think the president is vulnerable. With an economy like this, the president should be way ahead in the polls, but, you know, he's not, he hasn't reached 50%, except for the economy. You know, that's where he gets approval ratings, you know, and so I think that someone on the Democratic side has a very good chance in November of next year. But the problem is, it's kind of like when you see someone at a bar across the bar, that person looks really attractive. And then you get close and you see, I don't like the person's views, or the person has this problem or that problem. And when we get to know some of these candidates a little closer, we may see some of their opinions and views that, are just not that interesting anymore. That's why I think actually Joe Biden, who's tried and tested, has a pretty good chance.
I think also, though, it's going to be a great opportunity for some of the lesser known candidates to really break out, because the media tends to focus on a certain number of people, on Biden, on Elizabeth Warren, on Beto O'Rourke or whatever. But if everybody gets the same amount of time,
maybe.
Then yeah, I've been hearing a lot of people really excited to see how the governor of Montana performs. So I cannot remember his name right
Stephen
now.
Stephen Bullock, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And so I've just been hearing a lot of buzz about people, you know, keeping an eye on him, and that he's, I think, going to maybe be something more than what he's gotten so far as media attention goes. So I'll definitely be keeping an eye on him. I mean, when you have a Democratic governor of Montana, that is something a little bit special that you kind of want to look at. And
in a very
speak,
red state.
And could, yeah, and could speak to the country. So I think there are some of those folks that could do something different. But again, I mean, the time that they have is just so limited. It's really hard to say something profound.
I think it's flavor of the month. The media tends to choose somebody and then they eat them up. And the mayor of South Bend is a good example. Here he was, the darling of the media. And then there were some police issues in the community. He met with African-American residents. It turned out to be volatile. People were yelling at him. And suddenly he seems to be out of favor. And that happens all the time.
And it will continue to happen. You know, it will just keep happening. We might see multiple cycles of Mayor Pete being popular and then not hearing so much about him. So, yeah, I think it's more for entertainment right now than really making big decisions.
Yeah, I think Mayor Pete's at a disadvantage because he actually has things to run. I mean, if you're a senator or a congressman, you don't, you know, you can miss a couple votes. But when you're the mayor of a city, there's like real stuff happening that you have to be accountable for. Well, let's take a break here. It's 8:39.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
KMOX News Time, 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show and Megan McBride of Show Me Victories. Illinois has now become the 11th state to legalize recreational marijuana, Governor Pritzker signing that bill into law yesterday. Now, under this law, residents can legally purchase up to 1 ounce of marijuana, while residents, non-residents, can buy up to 15 grams. I think that was half an ounce. Licensed dispensaries can begin selling officially on January 1st, 2020. This law, Charlie, also, I think, expunges the record of people who have been jailed for low-level marijuana crimes. Your thoughts on Governor Pritzker signing this into law?
I'm not a favor of it. I'm not in favor of it. I think really one of the big drivers is the revenue, and we're going down the path where we're introducing vices in Illinois in order to raise money, you know, sports gambling and marijuana. And we've seen how well that works in our area with casinos and the lottery. The economic promises never come through. But I think the big issue, and we're going to talk about this with Alex Berenson, who used to write for The New York Times and who has an op-ed in today's Wall Street Journal at about 9:20. He's going to join us. And he says that the group of Americans who will rally against this eventually will be parents, because this will filter down to teenagers. And as you know, that human brain isn't fully developed till age 26. And not all teenagers, but teenagers who already have mental illnesses, whether it's bipolar or depression or even OCD, a mental disorder, could be severely affected by marijuana use. And I think that there's going to be a backlash. We think it's benign, but I think we'll find out otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, it's always an experiment, right? You kind of see what happens state by state as these laws pass. One thing I thought was pretty interesting, I had not realized that Illinois is the first state to actually pass this through the legislature, not by a vote of the people. So I thought that that was kind of interesting, and I hadn't really paid attention, I guess, close enough to notice that. Another thing I think that's important for really why they're doing it, of course, revenue is always a big plus, right, when you're considering either medical or recreational marijuana. But Illinois was the top spender on jailing and prosecuting people for marijuana crimes, right? So you're not just talking about bringing in the money for the tax revenue, but stopping to spend money on something that's not violent. And we all know, I'm sure Illinois could use a lot of that money to deal with some of the violent crime that's happening in Chicago. I think there are going to be issues. There's issues with any vice, right? So we have them with alcohol. People buy, who shouldn't be drinking alcohol. They find a way around to purchase alcohol underage. Same with tobacco. We're seeing it with vaping. So I think you have to consider those a negative impacts, but I don't know that they necessarily outweigh the potential positives. And for Illinois, I think to transfer a lot of your revenue to moving away from prosecuting and going after people who have a joint or, you know, get pulled over and have some marijuana and focusing on some of the really serious problems they have, I think it's probably going to be a plus for them.
And I wonder how much of that is true. I will say we had Jimmy Edwards, the judge and now the public safety director for the city of St. Louis, in the studio last week, and he went down on looked at all of the offenses for which people are currently being jailed in the city of St. Louis, and none of them are for low-level drug crimes. They're all there, he insists, because of some really serious offenses. So I wonder how many people really, in our area anyway, are behind bars because they're walking down the street with pot.
I think that's not necessarily a city thing. The police in the city have way bigger issues. I think most city residents are like, they're not going to stop me for that. They got bigger problems.
And I think that that is such a good point where it varies by region. But it was Governor Pritzker, I think, on this program talking about how the biggest part of their public safety budget was really going towards these lower level drug busts, mainly marijuana, and that they could really use a shift in their public safety. But you make a great point. That's a common kind of misnomer in the city that people love to say, well, everybody's just in there for nonviolent, you know, nothing crimes. And I think whenever you have folks who can actually speak to numbers, it's really important to clarify that.
All right. Do we have time for one more? No, we don't, says the producer. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about a major headquarters one step closer to moving from the suburbs into the city. It's 8:48. KMOX News Time, 8:51. Round three of OT with Megan McBride, Charlie Brennan. I'm Debbie Monterey. And Build-A-Bear Workshops. They are in Overland right now, but the city of St. Louis has approved an agreement that could provide up to $4 million for Build-A-Bear to move its world headquarters to a building near Union Station. Up to half of the city earnings and payroll taxes from the employees of Build-A-Bear would be set aside to fund improvements to the building that the company is seeking. Charlie, should the city be giving money to attract 200 employees and a headquarters to downtown St. Louis?
Well, here's how I look at it. First of all, no, because we're one region. Why would a city like St. Louis offer incentive to take a company from the county? Right now, in Kansas City, officials there, along with Kansas officials, are signing a truce where they're not going to poach each other's businesses with tax incentives. Now, you can move from Kansas to Missouri or Missouri to Kansas in the Kansas City area if you want to move your business. You just don't get, after this truce will be signed, an economic package that'll give you a tax break. And it just seems to me, I thought we were working together. For example, the city and the county have one economic development partnership, which I think is now headed up by Rodney Krim, who took over Sheila Sweeney's spot. Theoretically, the city should not be in competition with the county. It should be working together with the county. If they were luring a company from Boston, that'd be one thing, but you know, that's lost tax revenue for important city services.
As long as we continue with fragmentation, this will continue to happen. Obviously, the Economic Development Partnership is not enough to create a big kumbaya moment and keep everybody working just for the region. This is going to continue to happen. And maybe it looks like Build-A-Bear wants to move. Whether or not that's right for the region or not, this is the world we live in. And I think this was why we were trying to have the conversations we were having about regionalism. But I will say for the city, it says up to half of the earnings and payroll taxes. So there's another half we didn't have before. We desperately need the revenue. I'm always excited to see more move into downtown. So while philosophically we might all not like it, this is the world we've created for ourselves, and we have to live in it.
It's not entirely. I mean, there are some companies like KMOX, which moved and didn't get any tax breaks. The same is true for HOK when it moved, and Brown and Crouppen moved and didn't ask for, didn't get tax breaks. And you know, there was a time when companies moved and they paid their own freight. And just seems to me, if you know, if you're going to complain that we don't have money for children's services or for mental health programs or the homeless or whatever, then you got to look at all these breaks that are given to businesses, which, you know, 30 years ago, they paid their own way.
Well, yeah, and it's always been a, you know, which is first the chicken or the egg, you know, kind of situation that we find ourselves in, because it's, well, would the revenue exist to pay for those things if the businesses weren't here? And would the businesses come here if there wasn't some incentive to want to fix up these old buildings? You know, there's no doubt that St. Louis, downtown St. Louis buildings are going to have different issues than Overland or these newer municipalities out in the county, right? So I know that people want to make the argument that how are we ever going to pay for anything if we keep giving breaks? Well, we're never going to build any revenue if we continue to lose business and continue to lose population. Those are the things that bring in tax revenue in the first place. So it's a mess. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The fragmentation is a problem, but this is the situation that we have.
Well, you know, we do have a police chief who today on our news says we're 147 officers short. And that really is the big issue. You have to have decent schools, low crime, if you want to attract the businesses. But how are you going to do that if you keep diminishing the tax base?
On the positive side, though, other cities are seeing all these headquarters move back into the city from the suburbs. So I think it's exciting that Build-A-Bear is doing that. And if it's going to be by Union Station, and if we get a soccer team,
oh,
Union Station, that whole area, that is going to be a boon. They're building new hotels down there.
That's a good example. You know, the soccer team's not asking for local tax breaks,
I know. I'm
right?
just saying that
by as, and large,
as not looking at taxes and who's getting money, that area is going to be booming.
It has been a bit of a dead zone a little bit over there, right? And between the aquarium, and I don't know what I am interested now to see what building exactly this one is.
But if it's so exciting, and it is, why do you need to give the tax break? You don't. You really don't.
Yeah, well, we don't have any say in that.
We don't have a strategy generally for the region. Like, I mean, you've pointed it out really well, but the problem is, how are we going to fix it? What's going to be done?
When we combine the two economic engines for the city and the county, you think that we'd be working together, not against each other still.
Well, we need to go because we've got news at the top, and then it's the Charlie Brennan Show. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.